ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Now, 2024 is a significant year of change for the one in five Australians living with a disability, many who access or wish to access the National Disability Insurance Scheme. The scheme is awaiting a significant overhaul with dozens of recommendations to be implemented from the NDIS review that was handed down in December last year. But state premiers are now pushing hard against that agreement, calling for a delay in the timetable for shifting support services for people with developmental problems to state education systems. Now, many of the country's leading disability advocates are in Sydney today for a national conference, and Elle Gibbs is the Director of Policy and Advocacy at DANA, that's Disability Advocacy Network Australia, and she will be addressing the conference today. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're surprised by the response from the premiers. What's your... What do you think about the concerns that they've raised?
Oh, look, I am a bit. I think it's a bit premature for them to be raising these concerns. The reform has a five-year timeframe to get right in terms of both the NDIS review recommendations and the Disability Royal Commission recommendations. And all the governments sat down in December last year around National Cabinet and signed an agreement that they'd work together on these reforms with us, with disabled people and our organisation. So, yeah, I was a little bit surprised to read that early this morning and to see that, you know, the premiers are concerned about things that haven't actually been decided yet.
What do you make of, you know, how does it make people with disabilities feel, I guess, when you read these stories that there's this argument about who's going to pay for these crucial services?
Yes, I'm not sure whether you were overhearing my reaction to the article earlier this morning, David, but I was, you know, it is pretty distressing, to be honest. I mean, I'm like many other disabled people, I contribute along with all other Australians, but there are lots of mainstream services that remain inaccessible to me, you know, including those delivered by the states and territories. So public transport, our education system, health systems, lots of them that people with disability can't actually access. And lots of us, you know, don't actually access the NDIS. In fact, 88% of people with disability don't get their supports from the NDIS. And what has happened, though, since the, you know, in the 10 years since the NDIS came into being, is that any other services outside the scheme actually disappeared. I'm in New South Wales, and the New South Wales government at the time even sold off the home care service that provided small amounts of, you know, cleaning and shopping for people that were able to then stay out of hospital and live independently. So I know you're talking about the education system, but the NDIS review recommended what they call foundational supports, which are, you know, access to mainstream services and some targeted supports across services for people with disability. So things like home care, bits of cleaning and shopping to help people, making sure people can afford allied health services, that kind of thing.
We don't know what the timeline is for having these so-called foundational services provided. Is it reasonable to be calling for a delay at this early stage?
Oh, look, we've had 10 years of delay. We did a huge bunch of work for the NDIS review last year. We commissioned a paper from Associate Professor Sue Olney, who's like Australia's expert on these areas, and it found that, you know, outside the scheme, particularly for people with disability who rely on income support or who are on a low income, people are doing it incredibly tough. They have nothing. They can't access the services that other Australians use, and they don't have the specialised services that we, you know, we're hoping to have in a, you know, a country like ours. So the time to act is now, and the National Cabinet Agreement that was made last year, I think, underlined kind of the urgency for so many of us. We talk about cost of living crises, but the cost of living for people with disability who can't access mainstream services. So if you can't access public transport, for example, you have to catch a taxi. And if you rely on the disability support pension, then that's incredibly expensive. So when we talk about things like cost of living, you've got to remember that for people with disability, it's an extraordinary cost at the moment.
Yes. Do you acknowledge in the same terms as the government the budget pressures of the NDIS? When you see statistics such as almost 1 in 10 children aged 5 to 7 are now on the NDIS?
Look, I think it's really important for people to understand that for kids who are in the NDIS, particularly as they come into school, yes, there's lots of kids who are getting supports from the NDIS, but lots of them are from really low-income families, and it's the only way that they can afford essential allied health, like speech therapy, like physio. And the packages they get are quite small. My concerns are around, you know, the large amounts of profiteering and, you know, unregulated providers that are in the market. So the organisation that I work for, we represent disability advocacy organisations across the country. And advocates tell me all the time how worried they are about people who don't have families, people with significant and complex disability who are being exploited by unscrupulous providers all the time. So at the moment, we've got thousands of people, for example, who are in what's called supported independent living, that is unregulated, people who have large packages, but no one knows where they are. And so I think when we talk about costs of the NDIS, we have to remember that what we need is to regulate providers and make sure that there are market controls on what people can charge and what is happening. But we also need to make sure that there are services outside the scheme, because if the NDIS, you know, is a, I think we've used lifeboat and oasis and goodness knows how many other metaphors, but if it is the only way that you can get the supports that you need, of course people are going to try to get in there. So what we have to make sure is that disabled people are seen as equal citizens alongside everybody else, and that we can get our needs met by all levels of government, and that we have access to mainstream services.
I mean, when you talk about the states, I guess, or at least services being removed in the states when the NDIS first came in, does it follow that the states need to sort of pick up more slack here? Do you think that it's fair for the federal government to be placing more burden, if you like, more funding burden, that is, on the states?
Always good to be called a burden, but
apologies, I meant the funding.
It's totally fine. Yeah, but I think it's really important that we think about the National Cabinet Agreement was so important last year, where states and territories and the federal government committed 50-50 to contributing to new services to meet the needs of people with disability. Because right now, people with disability are either going without, so staying in their homes, you know, really doing it tough, or spending all of their money on the basic public services that other people get, you know, as part of being a citizen. So the way that we roll this out and the way we develop it has to be done with people with disability, with the states and territories, and with the federal government. But we can't keep saying to disabled people that you belong over there in the other place, you're not an equal citizen, and you don't get to have, you know, the same kind of access to the community as everybody else does. The time for change is now.
The Royal Commission's findings were handed down 6 months ago, and the nation's disability ministers say they won't formally respond until after the Commission's proposed March 31st deadline. What does the delayed response there say to Australians who access the scheme?
Indeed. Well, you know, not just people who access the NDIS. People with disability talked about, you know, the worst things that had ever happened to them over 4.5 years to the Royal Commission, talked about violence, abuse, being exploited and neglected. And then the response from the Commonwealth was that they would delay their response till mid-June. But also the states and territories have said in that they would not, they would respond when basically they decided to. And we and our organisations are incredibly worried that kind of, you know, unending timeline means that lots of the recommendations from the Royal Commission about safeguarding in particular that our state responsibilities won't get done. So, for example, the Royal Commission recommended that every state and territory set up a one-stop shop, if you like, for complaints of abuse against people with disability outside the NDIS. So the Royal Commission heard, for example, that lots of people with disability get abused in public and there's very little places that they can go to for help or support. And same with schools and same with hospitals and other healthcare settings. So we need this kind of complaint system to actually be able to stop the violence and abuse that's happening against people with disabilities. So I want to see the states come to the party in terms of a timeline, and we're calling for them to do that and to respond by mid-June.
Elle Gibbs, thank you. And once again, apologies for the use of that word. I know that language is very, very important in this space, and that applies to me as well.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
Elle Gibbs is the Director of Policy and Advocacy at the Disability Advocacy Network Australia. She will be addressing the DSC annual NDIS conference today.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.